Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please find in your Bible 2 Samuel chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 1 in a moment. We have been looking at the heroes of the Bible, and today we continue that study as we examine an event in the life of David. It may also help you to find this little piece of paper entitled, Learn from David, Do Not Compromise Your Commitments. There's an old saying, to err is human, to cover up is more so. Have you ever made a mistake and your instant thought is, how can I get out of this? How can I smooth it over? How can I cover it up? You see, we live in a world where there are many voices that speak to us and we have many choices we can make. That's why we call the broadcast ministry of our church Crossroads. We acknowledge that every day, in many ways, we stand at a crossroads. And at that crossroads, you've got to make a decision. You can either choose to follow Jesus Christ and take a path of love, purity, and serving, or you can go the way of the world. You can go your own way. And instead of being a person of love, you can be a person of hate. Instead of being a person of humility, you can be one of arrogance. Instead of being a person of purity, you can be one of pollution. Instead of being a person of serving, you can be one of selfishness. You see, we're always standing at that crossroads. We're always listening to voices, and we have to make choices. So that's why my theme song is simply Follow Jesus. Every day, follow Jesus. And if I will go His way, not only will He take me to spectacular places, but I can avoid a lot of pain, hurt, and misery. You see, that's why it makes so much sense to follow the Jesus way. Well, that's what we're going to examine today. We're going to look at the life of David, a man who was deemed a man after God's own heart, a man who was the sweet singer of Israel, a man who did so much to advance God's work and help God's people. But today we look at his low moment. Now, one of the things that gives me great confidence about the Bible is the Bible doesn't edit out the hard stories in its heroes' lives. Now, for instance, if I would have been the editor of the Bible and it came to the part about David committing adultery with Bathsheba, I think I'd have skimmed over that one. I would have just said, let's tear that out, let's forget that negative chapter, because people will have a very bad impression of me. But that's not how the Bible works. You see, we don't have stained glass saints. We have real people like you and me who face big decisions, and sometimes we make bad decisions. That's what we'll see today as we look at the story of David and how he compromised his commitment. You see, ultimately, David did not simply sin against himself, his family, Bathsheba, her husband, but he sinned against the Lord. He made a compromise. You see, we have those same opportunities in front of all of us, don't we? Have you ever gone to a fast food restaurant? One time I took my kids into a McDonald's over on Zelda, and I was paying for a little something that we were going to eat. It was a couple of ice cream cones, and I gave the lady a 10, but she gave me change back for a 20. And at first I thought, well, praise God. I mean, the favor of Jesus, thank you. And then I realized, now time out. Not only are my kids watching, but more importantly, the Lord is watching. So would I compromise my integrity for $10? So I went back up to the lady and I said, you made a mistake here. Let me correct the change. The lady standing beside me, she patted me on the back. She said, I've never seen that in my whole life. People giving money back to McDonald's. Now here you are, perhaps a traveling person, and you're alone at night in a hotel room. Nobody's monitoring what you're watching on television. And the hotels make a lot of money off pornography. So they put a tantalizing bait in front of your television remote control. Nobody will know what you watch. It's between you and you, is it? No, it's not. It's between you and the Lord, because Proverbs chapter 5 says that your ways are ever before the Lord. So I'm just here to tell you that every day you're at a crossroads and you can make compromises that hurt your relationship to the Lord. This is what happened in the life of David. Let's pick up the story in 2 Samuel 11, verse 1 through 5. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon. They besieged Rabbah, and David, he stayed at Jerusalem. Generally, David would be out leading the charge. Verse 2, when evening came, David arose from his bed, and he walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent, and he inquired about the woman. Someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers, and he brought her to himself. And when she came to him, he slept with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her home. Verse 5, but Bathsheba conceived, and she sent word to David and said, "I am pregnant." Let's pray together. Dear Father, this story about David, the lowest moment of his life when he compromised his commitment to you and made terrible decisions at the crossroads, it reminds us that anyone is capable of doing anything. Lord, we want to come humbly before you and ask that you speak to our hearts about the things that really matter, about purity, about integrity, about following your way at the crossroads. Lord, get me out of the way, and I pray that your Spirit would take your word and speak to every receptive heart. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. For many years, I've studied this passage. I've studied the life of David, and I've discerned within this episode a sin cycle, a sin cycle. And so I've identified six features of the sin cycle. And the reason I give it to you is because it can be short-circuited. You can come to the sin cycle and you can stop it. You can interrupt with intervention. So I want you to travel through the sin cycle with me, and the hope is for you to prevent making David's mistakes. My dad had a great saying. He said, "The second kick of a mule has no educational value." In other words, if you see an old boy stand in front of a mule and he gets popped by that mule, for you to get in line and then get popped again means that you're not thinking clearly. So why don't you learn from other people's experiences? In other words, you don't have to make the same mistake that David made when he compromised his commitment, when he lost his purity and integrity. So let's come and look at the sin cycle. It starts with number one, David commits sin. David commits sin. Now, we're all prone to do that, but friend, I'm here to tell you that sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will take you further than you ever wanted to go. You see, that's the nature of sin. And the Bible tells us that when we commit sin, we learn in James 1, verse 14 and 15, that sin, when it is full grown, leads to death. That's why the Bible says the wage of sin is death. It cuts us off from God, who is the source of life. Now, as we look at what is transpiring here in the spring, David is evidently growing lazy. David has grown lazy spiritually, religiously, morally. He is not leading his men into the battle, but instead he has let his guard down. I had an interesting experience this week. Ken Brothers invited me to go and speak to the inmates at Staten Prison who had graduated from our Pathway to Freedom program. We have guys that go to Staten 4 days a week, and they teach a program about how to be free in Christ. And so we've graduated over 100 people, and I got to speak to some of the graduates. Well, afterwards, Ken and his group provided a Thanksgiving, an early Thanksgiving meal. And so I'm sitting across from this fella, and he's just a regular, normal-looking guy, a kind of a mirror of me, about in his later 50s. And he gets to telling me a story, and his name is Rick. And he said, you know, I was very active in my church. He said, I taught Sunday school lessons. And he said, I came to a season when I just let my guard down. And I let my guard down, and I let some things come into my life that proved to be very harmful and hurtful. And he said, I've been here for 5 years. I got five more to go because I let the guard down. Friend, be on alert. Be on warning that any of us have the capability, like David, to let our guard down. So here is David being spiritually and morally lazy. He has eaten a big supper. Oh, can't you just see him? It's a beautiful spring night. He decides to look over his kingdom in Jerusalem. And here he is in the White House. And he looks over at the adjacent house. And there is on the rooftop this gorgeous girl. And she is taking a bath. Now, I'm not trying to cast aspersions at Bathsheba. But if you live next door to the White House, would you be bathing naked on the rooftop? Come on. Let's get real here. You see, this is a woman who evidently knew who her neighbor was, and maybe she was sending out a sign. A sign that says, hey, David, you're a honk, and I'm interested in you. I don't know all the details, but I know the result. And the result is that David was hooked, and he committed a terrible sin. He invited her into his bedroom. They had a sexual liaison that resulted in a pregnancy. Now, friends, let me break down how sin really works. You see, Jesus explained it like this. Before you have adultery in the bed, you've got adultery in your head. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:27, if you look at a woman and you have lust for her, you're on shaky ground. Check your thought life. Control it. Now, Martin Luther put it pretty well. He said, no one can prevent the birds of lust from flying over their head, but you don't have to invite them to make a nest in your hair. In other words, don't create a fantasy world where you are engaging in pornographic thoughts and you are using and abusing the people that God made you for your own lustful fantasies. That's out of bounds. You see, it was the second look that became the hook. You've heard that Jesus, it was a fisher of men, and he is. He wants to catch people. And I've determined that the devil is a fisher of men too. Do you know what the devil does? The Bible says in John chapter 10 that the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And the devil is kind of like a fisher of men. The devil will personally tempt you with what tantalizes you. What tempts me might not tempt you. What tempts you might not tempt me. But the devil is very shrewd. He is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And like a good fisherman, and a fisherman will take a piece of plastic bait, like a plastic lizard. I particularly like pumpkin seed. And you'll put that hook down into the middle of the body of that old lizard, and you throw it right there in front of Mr. Bass. And Mr. Bass thinks he's about to eat breakfast, but instead, when he takes a second look, he gets a hook. And you embed that hook and its barb deep into that bass's mouth. And the next thing you do is you're having bass for breakfast. I love bass. And so that old bass, he thought he was going to get breakfast, but instead I'm going to eat him. He took a second look and he found a what? A hook. And that's how it works, friends. Satan is alive and well. Don't be naive. He will go fishing for you, and he will hook you when you take that second look. It says in 1 Peter 5:8 that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. Let me give you a heads up. For me personally, I'll tell you what I do. It's my AAA, alert, accountable, and armored. Maybe you'll make that note. Be on the alert. The Bible says be on the alert because you've got an enemy who is fishing for you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy your witness and your family. your purity and integrity. He wants to take you out of God's team. So be on the alert. And then be accountable. It says in Proverbs 27:17 that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You need some friends, some brothers, some sisters who will cover your back. I've had an accountability group that I've been a part of since 1984. And within that accountability group, I've acknowledged that I want people to be able to ask me the hard questions about where I'm going, what I'm seeing. I want them to know who I am. And then there needs to be armor, spiritual armor. Every day, put on that belt of truth. It's prescribed in Ephesians 6, that breastplate of righteousness, that helmet of salvation, the good news shoes, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Be armored because, friends, this world is not a playground. It is a battleground, and you've got to be ready. Well, let's go to number two. David commits sin. David conceals sin. He covers it up. We pick up in chapter 11, verse 6, that when he finds out Bathsheba is expecting a baby, he concocts a plan. He'll simply bring her husband home from the battle, and Uriah will spend the night with his wife, and it'll look like it's baby, and everything will be fine. But Uriah was a man of honor and integrity, and he would not spend the night with his wife when his fellow soldiers were out on the battlefield. So David thought, what am I going to do? And he concocts another cover-up. He says to General Joab, he says, put Uriah in the hottest spot of the battle, and when the battle is in the middle of the thickest part of the fighting, withdraw from him, and he'll die. That's exactly what happened. It was as if David had taken the sword and thrust it into Uriah's heart. He killed his own man. So now we've added to lying, coveting your neighbor's wife, adultery, we've added murder. And this is a man who's after God's own heart. It just tells us that anybody is capable of sin. And what did he do? He compounded the fracture when he began to cover it up. Please look on your worksheet. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, it says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them, he will find mercy. Oh, I want you to understand that you can break the sin cycle when you don't conceal, but when you reveal, that's when you start to heal. This reminds me of a funny story from my childhood. When I was about 11 years old, one of my best buddies was a guy named Diaz Murray, and he got for Christmas a coveted 22. He had a Winchester Pump 22, and oh man, he loved that gun. Well, he was playing with his gun. He wasn't ever supposed to have it in his bedroom loaded, but he was just so fascinated with the gun that he was playing around with it, and somehow he shot himself in the foot. Well, that's not a very positive development. So here you got an 11-year-old kid, he's got a new gun, and somehow he shoots himself in the foot. Well, he thought at first that the bullet had gone clean through his foot, but instead it hit the floor and bounced back up, and in the ricochet it lodged in the arch of his foot. It hurt really bad, he said. But he didn't want to turn himself in because he was afraid his mom and dad would take his gun away. Well, being a tough Texas cowboy, he thought he'd just tough it out. He didn't know he had a 22 bullet embedded in his foot. Well, he kind of hopped around for a few days, and finally, after about 3 days, that foot started to turn red. And he finally had to go to his mom and dad, and he, instead of concealing, he started revealing, and that's when he started healing, because they had to cut that bullet out of his foot. Now, friend, that's how it works in your life. If you've got sin in your life, you can't conceal it. You've got to reveal it. That's how you heal it. You see, you cannot prosper by covering it up, by rationalizing, by justifying, by playing games with God. You got to own it. Which takes us to number three, David's conviction of sin. The scripture tells us that sin is never done in secret. God sees what you do. We learned that in Proverbs 5:21. David had a friend named Nathan. The story is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Nathan loved David. He was a prophet, and he loved David enough to tell him the truth. Let me ask you this. Do you have some people in your life that love you enough to call you out, to tell you the truth? Well, Nathan, he came to his friend David. And he said, David, I need to tell you a story. something unsavory is happening in the kingdom. You see, there is a man who is very rich, and he owns hundreds of sheep, and his across-the-street neighbor is a poor fella, and he owns one little ewe sheep, just a little female sheep, and that sheep is like a pet to them. They call her Lamb Chops, and she eats at the table, and she's so cute, and they pet her, and she's just a wonderful little pet. Well, one day, the rich man had some unexpected company show up, and the rich man said, "Oh, instead of killing one of our sheep, because we've got a taste for mutton tonight for supper," he sent one of his servants across the street to steal the little ewe lamb of his neighbor. So they stole her, and they slaughtered her, and they ate her. And Nathan said to David, "What do you think about that?" And David rose up out of his chair, his throne, and he said, "That shouldn't happen in my kingdom. He will repay fourfold." And Nathan looked at David, and he said, "David, you are the man who has done this. Everybody knows that you have taken Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and had him murdered. And you're fooling yourself. Everybody knows of your sin. You're a mockery to the kingdom." Now, David had the power to execute Nathan for telling him the truth, but instead, in humility, he was convicted of his sin. It's almost as if in this moment, Nathan becomes a picture of God's Holy Spirit. Please refer to your worksheet. In John 16, Jesus promises that when he leaves, he will give us the counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word conviction literally is a picture word. It means pinching. Do you know what it's like when you're near the edge of out of bounds to feel that pinching from God's Spirit to say you're out of bounds? Get back. Get back away because you're going to fall over the edge. It's that pinching of conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know you're about to step out of bounds and dishonor the Lord, hurt yourself and others that you love. You see, that's what conviction is. And Nathan became the convicting agent of God in David's life. And to David's credit, he received Nathan's correction. The Holy Spirit, friends, is like a smoke alarm, a smoke detector going off in your life, telling you about danger. But let me urge you to have a Nathan in your life, somebody that'll look out for you, and they'll cover what you can't see. Mary Ruth and I have a fun game. Every time I'm getting ready to leave the house, I say, "Mary Ruth, how does my hair look in the back? How does my hair look? I can't see it back there." And invariably, you know what she does, my precious baby Ruth? My candy bar. You know what she does? She'll come running up behind me and she said, "Let me get the brush because it's a little out of place." And she'll run her fingers through my hair where I can't see it. And she'll just get it all in the right spot. And do you know, I love that. Because do you know what she's really doing? She's saying, "Jay, I got your back. I'm covering what you can't see about yourself." Do you have some people in your life that you trust that can tell you the truth? That can point out to you the things that you can't see? They can be your Nathan. They can be like your Holy Spirit helping to keep you in bounds. Well, let's look at number four, David's confession of sin. This is amazing. David didn't play games. He admitted it. He didn't lie. He owned it. And the Bible says that he essentially confessed his sin, and we learn in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, that God forgave him his sin. The parallel scripture is in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, and the word confess is homologo, it simply means agree. It's as if you were standing in a court of law and the judge showed a picture of you violating a law, and you simply say, "Well, I confess," or "I agree. You caught me red-handed, judge." Did you know that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness? That's the great centerpiece of the good news. This is a little piece of soap. To me, 1 John 1:9 is God's bar of soap. And when I mess up, and when you mess up, what does God do? Does he condemn us? Does he throw us away? No, he gives us a second chance. He invites us to clean up, to take his bar of soap, to quit playing games, to agree with him, and to be cleansed of all unrighteousness and experience his restoration and second chance. Look at number five real quick, David's cleansing from sin. You may look at Psalm 51 as David's spiritual journal. because he writes about what happened after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he makes God a promise. He says, "Oh God, if you will restore the joy of my salvation, I will teach transgressors your ways." In other words, if you will restore me, I will make this mess my ministry. My friends, God wants to do the same in your life. Isaiah 1:18 puts it like this: "Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow if you'll simply confess." Ephesians 1:7 says that in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. He will take our sins and wipe them out and cleanse them away. One day I was talking to a man. I'd seen him come to Christ, and he was growing in the Lord. And one day he said, "Jay, I just got to tell you the darkest chapter of my life." He said, "When my wife and I were dating, we decided to do what everybody does and just move in and live together. And we had a very active sexual life, and she got pregnant. And I didn't want a baby. Babies are expensive. They're a lot of trouble. We're not married. I didn't want to be embarrassed with my family. Plus, I just didn't want to have a squalling kid in the house, so I made her get an abortion." She didn't want to get an abortion. She instantly fell in love with that baby, but I finally talked her into it. I drove her to the abortion clinic, and I paid for it. And I can tell you, after I became a follower of Jesus and I realized that I had not just killed a little blob of cells, but I had killed, they already knew it was a boy, I killed my son. I said, "You can't imagine what it's like to think about that every day. Because now we're having trouble conceiving. And we want a baby so bad, and we kill the one that God gave us." And he said, "Do you think God could ever really forgive me? Could God ever really use me after what I've done?" And the Lord's Spirit spoke to my spirit, and I said, "My friend, I want you to understand this, that your sin is not in a special category. That would be the height of arrogance to think that your sin is so unique and special that it's beyond God's forgiveness. That's untrue." And he began to weep. And he said, "I'm going to give this to the Lord one last time and seek his forgiveness." And he did. And that brother right now is a Baptist pastor in the northeast part of America, because he didn't believe the devil's lie that he was a reject and he couldn't be restored. My friends, here's what happens. When God cleanses you, then he can reuse you, because there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose all their guilty stains. Well, there's a last part. Don't miss this. This is very, very important. Number 6 is David's consequences from sin. David's consequences from sin. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 28, that God can take whatever comes our way, good or bad, and he can bring good from it. He can achieve his purpose from it. David was cleansed from sin, but he had consequences to pay. It kind of reminds me of the story of Josh Duggar. Have you heard about the Duggars? You know that story, 19 is and counting? Well, a few months ago, Josh Duggar made the revelation that he had had several adulterous relationships with people. And this was an outspoken Christian, and so he was obviously living a hypocritical, duplicitous life, and that ended up shutting down the television show. And then more problems have piled on. He and his wife, who have 3 kids, they're separated right now because it's become apparent that he has had a lot more adulterous relationships. When he was interviewed, Josh Duggar made a profound statement. And I want you to bank this. I want you to keep this. Hold on to this, friends. Josh Duggar said, "God has given us the freedom to choose, but we don't get to choose the consequences of our choices." So some terrible consequences have come his way. Now, the reason I want you to understand this is because, yes, God forgave David. He gave him restoration and another chance. But there were some really difficult consequences that came David's way. Do you remember Nathan said, when he told the story about the sheep, that there would be punishment times 4? That was even David's prescription. He would have to restore times 4. Well, think about this. Because of David's sin, the baby that was conceived between David and Bathsheba, what happened to that baby? It died. That baby died. And then there was the rebellion of his son Amnon, and Amnon was killed by David's son Absalom, and Absalom then tries to take over the kingdom, and Absalom dies, and then the other heir apparent, Adonijah, he dies. So four of David's sons die because the consequence comes from his sin. Now, God forgives, but that doesn't take away the consequence. So mark it down. So here's my point. If you are being tempted to sin, and we live in a day when the media says there's virtually no consequence to irresponsible behavior, time out. There is a consequence. And instead of minimizing that in your mind, you know what you ought to do? You ought to maximize it. That's what I do. Yeah, I stay alert. I stay accountable. I stay armored. And I also wear this sign. Maybe you've seen it on me. My sign says unavailable. I wear this invisible sign that says unavailable because I am crazy wild about my wife. I love my Mary Ruth. And you hear me talk about her a lot on purpose because I want people to know that. And I'm also modeling it for other marriages. And I also want you to know this, that when you think about the devil's alluring temptation that's tantalizing you, don't minimize the consequence. Maximize it times four. And then you'll be more likely to go the Jesus way of love, purity, and serving. Lastly, know that Romans 8:28 does work. David did teach sinners God's ways, and his mess eventually became God's masterpiece. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us learn from David's example, this heroic man that made tragic mistakes, because we don't want to repeat his mistakes. Lord, we thank you for forgiveness, cleansing, redemption. We thank you for your hope and help. And I pray that even right now there would be people who receive your gift of forgiveness and start a new path of being alert, armored, and accountable as they walk with you each day. Pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.